Visual to some of this so we could have a bit better understanding. Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, a dedicated partner in the work. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. God, what an amazing time to worship you this morning, Lord. And Father, to sing praises unto you, lift our hearts unto you. And God, just what an amazing time that it was to worship you this morning. What an awesome job, the Lord, that the praise team did and the musicians did. God, it just sounded wonderful today, being in your house and praising and singing songs to you, Lord, and lifting your name up on high. Because God, you are a great God, and there is no other God besides you, Lord. And you've never done us nothing but good. And God, I thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for filling your church house and your people today with your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, thank you for your freedom here today. God, we continue to pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, and cast him out, Lord. He's not welcome here or wanted here. God, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God continue to flow and move through the service. And God, I pray that you anoint the reading of your word today. And God, that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears, to the Lord. God, let us receive your word, hear your word, and God, apply your word and be doers of your word today. God, we want to thank you for what you're going to do. Again, we pray your anointing upon your word. It's your word. God, may it go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, may we be challenged to live a more godly life for you, the Lord. And may we be changed individuals as what we were when we walked in. God, may we be revived, refreshed, renewed, and excited about carrying out your work. God, we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says this. It says, in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of the honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye have appointed over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. When I looked at this and I thought about what God's word was saying today and I thought about what God was doing, I thought about a dedicated partner in the work of the Lord. You know, as Christians, folks, as Christians that we are, God wants us to be dedicated to Him. God wants us to give Him our all, give Him our life, be dedicated to Him, put Him first in our life, and let Him rule and reign in our hearts. God wants to be number one in your life and my life. And when you look at this, if you take a note, number one that He's talking about is leaders are to be committed. Committed leaders and committed Christians is what God is looking for. When you look back at verses 6 in Acts 6 and verse 2 and 3, it says that the 12 gathered the disciples and said to them, brothers, choose you seven men. It says in verse 3, where, brethren, look out you among you and choose seven men of the honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and whom you may appoint over the business of the church. And we see that here he was, and here he has some things going on, but he partnered up with the church. He partnered up with brothers and sisters in Christ. He partnered up with them. And any time that we partner up and make a team, as I said several times, together everyone accomplishes more. Together everyone accomplishes ministry. It's coming together, combining our talents, our treasures, and our time, and things of that nature that we have, coming together with one another for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Everything we do should be to bring Him honor and glory. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us in here. It's about worshiping the Lord. It's about praising Him. It's about giving God credit where credit is due, honoring Him with everything that we have. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter made it clear in Acts 2:38 what we're doing. He said, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter made it clear, you know, as to what we should be like as Christians, what we should be like as leaders. It's that place that we have to come to in order to be a child of God. We have to repent for our sins, repent of what we've done, be baptized of the remission of sins, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you receive that, God will guide you. God will lead you. His witness will bear witness with our witness and our spirit, and you'll know what it is to do. You will know what it is that he's talking about and guiding us. And he says this involves a couple of things. When we do this, this involves a change of mind. To be a leader and a committed Christian involves a change of mind. And we see that Peter said to them, repent. Repentance is an inner spiritual revolution that leads to a changing of a lifestyle, that leads to a changing of mind. So he's telling them repent, and it involves a changing of a mind. You've heard me say it a lot of times in Romans 12:2, and what it says there, and about, you know, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. It requires us to have a renewed mind, a changed mind. If we're to be a committed Christian, it takes effort. It takes allowing the Lord to change who we are, change our direction, change our mind. He goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 7:10. He goes on to say, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The ways of the world worketh death. It says the wages of sin is what? Death. But we have to have that spiritual repentance to salvation, changing of our mind, changing of our heart, as Romans 12:2 says, changing the direction and who we are, letting God take control and take over your life and my life. Not only that, but it involves a clean heart. And when he looked back in Acts 2:38, and it involves a clean heart when Peter said unto them, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in you. It involves a change of heart. It involves you and me giving our heart to the Lord, letting Him transform our life, letting Him take our heart and doing a heart transplant. Amen. Giving Jesus our heart and let Him do an open heart surgery on us. Letting Him do a heart transplant. Let Him cut open and get down there and let Him remove the callus of our heart. Let Him remove the cholesterol and things of that clogs it up. Let Jesus come in and perform open heart surgery on you and me. And when He says, open up your heart, He's saying, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up what? His heart's door. I will come in and abide or sup with Him and Him with me. Folks, to be a committed, dedicated Christian, we got to give Him our heart. We got to give Him our mind. We got to give Him everything and ask Him to change our minds. Ask Him to clean our hearts, Lord. Clean us up. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, He tells us, He says, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that how, that what? Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He goes on to say, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the scripture. That is the heartbeat of the gospel, my friends. That is the focus point of the gospel. That is the center of the gospel, where Jesus says that He would take, my friend, He took our sins upon the cross. He didn't just take them there, but He took them down to the grave. He just didn't take them there. He took them on down to the abyss of the earth and fought with the devil and put Him in His place and took the keys and victory over death, hell, and the grave. I serve a risen Savior, one that's not dead. I serve a Savior that's alive and well. And that is the pinnacle of the gospel, that Christ, as that verse says, when you put it back up there in verse 4, it says that He was buried and that He arose again the third day according to the scripture. I serve a Savior that's alive and well, one that's alive and well, one that wants to be alive and well in your heart and in your life if we'll let Him up and we'll let Him in. Not only that, but it's a controlled will. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, He said in Acts 2:38. Notice that every person of the Holy Trinity receives this miracle of conversion at the moment they open their heart and invite Jesus in to be their Lord and Savior. They experience that, releasing that control over to the Lord, releasing our life over to Him. That's a tough thing for us to do sometimes, because we want to be in control. We want to be in control of our life. But Jesus says, no, No, I died for you. No, I gave my life for you. No, you've accepted me as Lord and Savior. I want to be in control of your life. I want to be boss of your life. I want to be Lord of your life. And that's what He wants from you and me. He's sovereignty. He wants the indwelling of His Holy Spirit to be indwelled in us, to be in our lives. As committed to Christians, my friends, it involves the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It involves us getting intoxicated in the Spirit. Amen. Not in the spirits, but in the Spirit. Amen. In the Spirit of Jesus, getting intoxicated in Him and letting Jesus take over. Getting happy in the Lord is what He wants. As Adam said, we're in a Baptist church, but it's okay to praise the Lord. It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to get excited about Jesus. It's okay to clap. Because why? Because God wants us to experience that joy in worshiping and serving Him. God wants us to experience that in our lives. Not only that, my friend, he goes on and he talks about releasing and relinquishing that spirit to Him and letting the Lord take the reins in our life. Peyton, where you at? You know, the Lord wants to take reins in our life. He wants us to take too and take the reins in your life and my life. Anybody has horses in here? I had a few. Where's your mama? He just didn't know what he was going to get up to. But you know, so many times, Jesus wants to take control of your life and my life. Jesus wants to take the reins in our life. And listen, when we're in control of the reins, and the reins are laying there, I had a quarter horse and an Arabian. And the Arabian was one of the most spiritual horses around. And if you didn't have tight control on those reins, we called him Silver for a reason. Because it was like high-oh Silver. The first thing he did was reared up on his hind feet, put his feet down, and he went to prancing. But you better hope you had a hold of the reins when you jumped on there, because he's coming up. You know, and it's the same thing. When you let go of those reins on him, you let go of those reins on him, he's gone. You can't control him. You can't catch him. Come here, horse. Where are you going, boy? You can't catch him. You can try all kind of ways and even try to shortcut and get a hold of him. You can't catch him. It's the same thing with our life. It's the same thing. When Jesus grabs a hold of the reins, he controls our life. But my friend, when we take control of our own reins, we get out of control. We run all around. We do our own thing, and nothing can happen. Now Jesus has got control of the reins. Everything's good. Everything's fine. We might tend to stray to the right, but we can pull to the left on the rein, pull it back and straight. We might tend to stray to the left. We can pull right on the rein, and Jesus gets us straight. When you let Jesus take control of your life, He can stop you. He can back you up. He can say, come here, boy. He said, come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I give you rest. You want to take control of your life? No, I want it. Come to me. Give me your life. I want to make a difference in your life. I want to be the one that walks with you. I want to be the one that's in control of your life. I want to be the one that's walking with you. When I'm walking with you and you're with me, we're in unison. And we can keep a straight line. We're in unison when we allow that to happen. Oh, then we trust in the Lord. God, which direction do I want to go? Let's turn around. Let's go to the left. Go ahead. Walk straight. We're walking. Lord, what is it the way you want me to go? God, do you want me to go left or do you want me to go right? God, whatever way it is, just tap me on the way you want me to go. To the right. Just tap me on the way you want me to go. My friends, it takes. Awesome job, Peyton. It takes us, my friend, letting loose of the reins in our life and letting Jesus take control. Let Jesus take control of your life and my life. When He takes control, my friends, He keeps us in that straight and narrow. Oh, listen, a leader is to be committed Christian. It's the one that releases the control of our life to the control of the Master's life, to control of Jesus' life. Are you here today to be a dedicated Christian? Be a dedicated leader. If you are, loose the reins and let Jesus take control of your life. Let Him take control of your life. Not only that, but a leader, number two, is a leader is to be a consistent Christian. A consistent Christian. He tells us in verse 3, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who you may appoint over this business." To be a brethren, he said, look out amongst you, find those. When I looked up the word report, it's the same thing that we get our word from, that derives from the term as a witness. Being a witness, look out amongst you and find that witness that exemplifies Christ. That find that witness that people can see Jesus in them, that witness to Him, to be full of wisdom. And it denotes to be a good witness. Be full of wisdom, to be a good witness for Him. It calls the willingness to die daily to self. Crucify ourselves daily, as I spoke last week on the cross. And giving up that cross, as Brother Leroy told me, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Be dedicated to follow the Lord. Be dedicated to let Christ's life shine through you. Oh, God holds us as teachers and leaders to a higher standard. Why? Because we're teaching, we're leading, we're standing in front of a small group, a large group, things of that nature, and folks' eyes are on you and me, and they want to know that they can depend on their leader. They want to know that they can trust in their teacher. They want to know that they can trust in those that we have entrusted to share the Word of God with others. And it calls for us to be dedicated. It calls for us to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto the Lord, that we are to set the examples for others to follow. We are the ones that hold the precious Word of God that in our hand and teach it and lead those, my friends. It calls for us to live in a better lifestyle, a consistent Christian, being consistent every day, living in your walk so that others can follow us. Not only that, but a leader is not only a committed Christian, not only is it a consistent Christian, but a leader is a consecrated Christian. In the Old Testament times, the word consecration was used on occasions of the installation of a priest into holy service, an installation of them. In Exodus 28:41, it tells us in those verses of Scripture, it says, "And thou shalt put them up on Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them," and what? "Consecrate them," and what? "Sanctify them that may minister unto me in the priest's office." So he's talking about in here being a consistent Christian. He's talking about a leader is to be consecrated, a leader is to be set aside. A leader in the New Testament teaching, consecration implies to the filling of the life of the Holy Spirit. Filling of the life of the Holy Spirit, being consecrated in the Lord, allowing you to open up your life and open up your heart and allowing the Lord to fill you with His presence, fill you with His power, being filled with that. Being consecrated Christian begins with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it demands some actions. It demands an abandonment to the Spirit, that you abandon yourself to the Spirit, that you're allowing the Spirit to take control of your life. You're allowing the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit of God to indwell you, to take over your life, and allowing Him to fill you. And it goes on to say in Ephesians 5:18, as I said earlier, being intoxicated in the Spirit. But Ephesians 5:18, it puts up there and it says, in these verses, "And be not drunk with wine wherein it says, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." Being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with His Spirit, so that you and I can be used for His honor and glory. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being intoxicated in Jesus. Can you imagine if we got intoxicated in Jesus? Can you imagine if we got intoxicated in the Spirit? Some of y'all might have a heart attack in here. Can you imagine allowing the Holy Spirit to take over and being intoxicated in Him? Whoa, what a place that will be. What a place to be there. We sing "How Great Thou Art" and all those songs today, and singing about Jesus and how great it is. And one day we're going to experience that and things of that nature. Folks, you can experience here in the now and now. you can experience today when you open up your heart and open up your life and let Jesus take control. You can experience it today. Not only is it called an abandonment of the Spirit, my friend, but, you know, and letting Jesus take control. You know, I thought about that. Noah, Peyton, Cameron. I thought about letting Jesus take control. Y'all grab a seat or two. And letting Jesus take control of our life. You know, it's like we're in an automobile. And we got an illustration of an automobile. And you know that you got the front seats. And you got the back seats of an automobile. And you're driving down the road. And we got the driver up here. And the driver sits in the driver's seat. And who's the driver? Noah's the driver. Cameron's over here, and Cameron's Jesus. Noah's sitting there, and he's driving. He's got a steering wheel, and he's got it going on. Hey, laid back. Y'all see that? Hand in the lap, foot up. Teenager. Perfect illustration of it. Supposed to be driving that way, and he's looking this way. Awesome driver. Depicted it to the P. I picked the right driver for this. But you see Noah, and all of a sudden Noah's coming up, and he sees Jesus hitchhiking. Noah stops, takes his hand off the wheel, goes up there and opens up the passenger door and says, what? Come on, get in, Jesus. Jesus said, no. So Noah said, well, I'll go over here and open up the passenger front door. I opened up the back door, he didn't do nothing. So Noah said, well, let me open up the passenger door. Jesus said, no. So all of a sudden it dawns on Noah, why won't Jesus get in the car? Because Jesus wants Noah to do what? Slide over and do what? Hand the wheel and hand the reins to Jesus. So Jesus gets in the front seat now, and he takes over the steering wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Cause I can't do this all on my own. I'm letting go. So give me one more chance. Save me from this world I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. Jesus wants to take the wheel. Just as Noah gave the wheel up to Jesus, Jesus becoming control of our life, Jesus take the wheel. That's what he wants to do. Give Cameron and Noah a hand. You know, Jesus take the wheel. Jesus take the wheel. My friend, just as I said, Jesus wants us to give up the reins. Jesus wants us to slide over. Slide over. And let him take the wheel. Amen. Going down life's road and things of that nature. Jesus wants you to hand over the reins. Jesus wants to take the wheel and take control of your life and take control of my life if we just allow him to. Because if not, we can run around like a wild man and a wild horse like Peyton. But my friend, when we get those reins and we allow Jesus to pull on top of them and pull them back, and we go the direction he goes in, it's a whole lot smoother, isn't it? Jesus take the wheel. Jesus take control of our life. Not only does he want the abandonment to the Spirit of God, but he wants an abiding spirit. The words, be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:8, the secret of such abiding obedience to the Word of God, John reminds us in 1 John 3:24, he reminds us, and he that keeps his commandments, what? Dwelleth in him. Dwelleth in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. He abides in us with the Spirit which he has given us. The Spirit which God has given us. He wants to take control of your life and my life. The appropriation of the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means to drink deeply in God's Word, being filled with the Spirit, being drink deeply in God's Word. My friend, He wants to take us, and He wants to take His Spirit, and He wants to pour it into our life, and He wants us to be filled with the Spirit so it's overflowing in your life and my life. Overflowing. Oh, as the old song says, my friend, when He takes your cup and He overflows your cup and it runs into your saucer, the old song says, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. He wants to take that in your life and in my life. He wants to do that, and He wants us to be in His Spirit, in His abiding Spirit. But we got to be willing to let the Lord pour into us. We got to be willing to give our life to Him and let Him pour into us so we can begin to overflow. We got to be willing to do that. We got to be willing to loose the reins and let Him take control. We got to be willing to give up the wheel and let Jesus take control of your life and my life. That's what He wants to do. He wants control of us. And my friend, when He fills us, as I said, there will be an abundance overflowing of His Spirit. As the old song says, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. My friends, He wants you and I to experience the overflowing blessings of His power. He wants you and I to experience the overflowing blessings of Him if we would give our heart and life to Him. Not only that, but a leader is to exhibit common sense in Christianity. In Christianity, He said the word wisdom here is used in the Scripture, in the wisdom. He talked about in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. Releasing the Spirit-controlled wisdom to the Lord. James 3 and verse 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then it's what? Peaceable, then it's what? Gentle, and what? Easy to be entreated. Full of what? Mercy, and of what? Good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And it goes on to say in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. Oh, listen to me, folks. Jesus wants to make peace in your life and my life today. Will we open up our heart? Will we open up our heart's door? Peyton, come here. Will we open up the heart's door? Will we open it up? And will we allow Jesus to take the reins in your life and my life? He wants to take the reins. And when He does, my friend, He'll let you gently walk. He'll let you go. You know, and we're walking along, and sometimes, yeah, we might stray away and go to the right. But when Jesus is in our life, He'll get us back on the straight and narrow. Yeah, we might stray away, and we might turn the corner and make a left and be going down the other road, but when you got Jesus in your life, He can stop you. That's not the way I've got intended for you. Let's turn around. Let's turn around. Jesus will help you make that turnaround in your life. Get you back. Amen. Get you back in the right line. If you don't listen to Him, He even take that rein and He'll spank you. He'll whip you once or two. Not only that, but if He wants you to go a little faster, He'll whip you some more so you take off running. He wants to take your life. Awesome, Peyton. Give Peyton a hand. He wants to take it. He wants to take your life. He wants to take the reins of your life. The reins of your life, just like Cameron and Noah. Y'all can come back up. Just like Cameron and Noah, folks. Just like them in their life. You know, they were taken out driving. Where's my driver? Mm-hmm. Taken out driving. You know, and Jesus is standing there. It took two times for Noah to ask Jesus to get in. The first time, Noah opened the door in the back seat, and Jesus said, no. Noah said, well, then I'll try it again. Noah said, well, I'll open the door on the passenger side and let you in the front seat. But Jesus said, no. And then Noah slid over into the passenger seat, and Jesus comes up and what is? He gets in, and He takes the wheel. Play that one more time. takes the wheel of your life. And when He's in control and He takes that wheel of your life, and Jesus is in control and He starts driving down that road, He starts driving down the road together. You got safety because He's going hand in hand with you. He's walking with you. He's walking down that road. It's okay. He's walking down that road of life with you. And He's got the steering wheel. He turns to the left. And Noah's the passenger, and he allows Jesus to lead him. They turn to the left when they get to the corner. They get to the next stop sign, stop road. They take a left, and they come on. And they're still walking together, hand in hand, hand in hand. But the passenger, Noah, he stops. Jesus keeps going. Noah's got a better direction. As you know what? Jesus stops and he looks back and he says, come on with me. Come on with me. I want you to go where I'm going to go. I want you to lodge where I'm going to lodge. I want you to experience eternal life. All you got to do is open up your heart and go with me. All you got to do is let me take the wheel of your life and go with me. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. My friend, listen to me. You might be here and you might have never known Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You might have never known that, but folks, listen to me. Jesus wants you to open up your heart's door, and He wants to pour into you life, an abundant life, so it's an overflowing life. My friends, He wants to be that to you and me. When are we going to open up and let Him in? Oh, He wants to take the reins of your life. He wants to take the wheels of your life for His honor and glory. If we let Him, my friend, it'll be an amazing thing. If you're here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, won't you come? He tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come. Open up your heart. Give Him your life. Let Him take the wheel. Let Him take the reins as a dedicated Christian in giving our heart and life to Him. Let Him take the reins. Let Him be God. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Give it to Him. Oh, my friends, He wants to fill you with His power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You might be empty today, but Jesus wants to pour His life into you and fill you up.